بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters، الحمد لله، we were talking about the importance of the masjid. You know, I lived in Saudi Arabia for the whole year in 2003. One of my most powerful memories of the time, when I was looking for a house to stay, I lived in Jeddah. I insisted that I wanted to live in a normal flat in a normal locality, meaning, and my only condition was that I should be near a masjid. So I got this flat which was literally almost directly opposite a masjid. I mean, I could hear the adhan and then I could leave my flat and walk down to the masjid in time to pray two rakat of Tahiyatul Masjid before the Iqama. So it was so close. Now, one day, people at that time, they said to me, why don't you stay in a compound and so on. I said, no, I don't want to live in a foreign country, and in the foreign country, I don't want to insulate myself from the local people and live in a compound which is full of my own kind. And alhamdulillah, I never regretted that decision. I made some wonderful friends among the Saudi people, absolutely beautiful people, mashallah. I had really lovely neighbors. Now, one day, I went for Salat al-Fajr. After that, I sat in the masjid until the time for Ishraq. When the time for Ishraq came, I finished my salah. And then, as I came out of the masjid, headed home, I see this young boy, he must have been about maybe, 12 or 14 years old, hurrying towards the masjid. So I asked him, where are you going? He said, I overslept for Fajr, so I'm going to pray. So I said, this is now Fajr time is over. You know, Fajr in the masjid was then. Now, why are you going to the masjid? He said, no, I'm going to pray the Qada, but I'm praying in the masjid. Now imagine, this is his way, that the place to pray is the masjid. So even if he has to pray khada, he goes to the masjid to pray khada. Now may Allah bless the parents of children who are brought up like that. This is the importance of the masjid. Today we say, if you ask somebody, why don't you go to the masjid? We say, no, it is too far. It is not convenient. People, the masjid was not made for your convenience. The masjid was made as the center of your existence. What do you think the Sahaba did? Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain. There were people who came, there were some people who shifted close to Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif because they wanted to pray all the five salawat bin Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and for the ease of doing that. But there were other Sahaba who deliberately stayed far away and they came to the Masjid for all the five salawat in order to get the reward of coming from a far place. The famous hadith, which a lot of people quote out of context, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to one of the sahabiyat, one of the ladies, he said to her that pray in the masjid near your home, and he said for the woman the best place to pray is inside her house. Now, look at the hadith. How did this happen? Yeah, because remember, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not prevent women from praying in the masjid. Even though he said this to this lady, he did not therefore say that from today onwards, therefore, all women pray at home, don't come to the masjid. He didn't say this. He, on the contrary, he gave this strong hukum to say, do not prevent the female slaves of Allah, the ladies, the Amatullah, do not prevent them from coming to the masjid. To the extent that the wife of Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, she used to go to pray to Masjid al-Nabawi for all the five salawat. And Sayyidina Umar, radiallahu anhu, did not like her to go out of the house, especially in the night. He was concerned about her safety and so on. So somebody said to her, they said, why do you do this? Your husband doesn't like it. But you insist on going and praying salah in the masjid, especially at night. Your husband doesn't do it. Why do you insist on doing it? So she said, she asked him, she said, I know you don't like me going to the masjid to pray by Jama'ah. Are you ordering me not to go? Because if you order me not to go, I will obey you. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, what does he say? He says, how can I order you when Rasulullah is... How can I order you to... order you not to go to the masjid when Rasulullah has permitted you to go to the masjid? Now, this is the taqwa, and this is the hub of Rasulullah. This is the taqwa of Umar ibn al-Khattab, where even though he personally did not like something and he had his grounds, he had his reasons for not liking it, he refused to allow that personal feeling and personal opinion to override the hadith of Rasulullah. But think about this. Now, how did this hadith happen? This hadith happened because there was this lady who used to come to pray all the five salawat in Masjid Nabawi, and she came from a very far away place. Her tribe lived away from Medina, but she would come and she would walk. She would walk all the way and walk all the way back. And imagine doing this for Maghrib and Isha and for Fajr. She's walking in the night. Her husband was obviously concerned about her safety. He tried to tell her not to go. She refused. So he brought a complaint to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, this is the state. I am not against her going, but you know, this is an issue of safety and so on for her. So please advise her. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this to her. Now, what does it show? It shows that people used to come to the masjid even if it was not convenient. All the things I mentioned to you, it was not convenient for them. They used to come. People, we know of instances where Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on certain occasions, even though they were not traveling in Masjid Nabawi itself, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam combined two salawat. He combined Zuhar and Asr, and he combined Maghrib and Isha because of inclement weather conditions, because there was heavy rainfall. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't want people to come to the masjid. He knew it would be difficult for them to come to the masjid twice. So he combined those two salawat. Even though they were not traveling, normally it is not permissible for us to combine two salah unless we are traveling. But in this particular case, Rasulullah did that. Even though nobody was traveling, it was in Masjid al-Nabawi, but Nabi Sallallahu combined these two salawat for the convenience of the people. Why did he do that? Because people still came or still would have come to the masjid even if it was inconvenient. Just to make it convenient, now, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did this. We know, for example, when the Jummah Salah and the Eid Salah came on the same day, which means that if Eid al-Fitr or Eid al-Adha happened to be on a Jummah, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on occasion combined the two salawat. So it is permissible to have two separate salawat. It is also permissible to do one, which is at the time of Jummah, where it also suffices for the Eid. Now, the point I'm making here is, this is not an issue of fiqh and, you know, what is permissible, what is not permissible. Point I'm making is, this tells us and shows us the huge importance of the salah in the masjid, and the fact that we must make the effort to go to the masjid for salah. My brothers and sisters, please understand, today we live in a world where we think life is to move from sensation to sensation. So even our masajid, even our Islam is going from sensation to sensation. So we go to the masjid, if there is, they say, what is happening in the masjid? And by happening, we mean something other than the Jama'a Salah, right? What is happening? Something has to happen. Some fancy sheikh has to come. There has to be some halakha. There must be some bazaar. There must be some gathering for this or that. There must be some food. I mean, none of these things is haram. Alhamdulillah, by all means, do all that. But that is not the reason to go to the masjid. You go to the masjid for five times for salah. That is the biggest happening. That is the most important happening. That is the primary purpose for which the masjid has been established. In addition to that, by all means, of course, the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, if they were happy, they went to the masjid, they went for Salatul Eid, they went for to do somebody's nikah, they did a walima in the masjid. If there was any threat, and if they had to get together to consult with each other about how to deal with the threat, they went to the masjid. If there was charity to be distributed, this charity was distributed from the masjid. If there was anything at all, it was done from the masjid.
In when they met people in the masjid, they took account of each other, they checked up with each other to see if everything is well and so on. If they didn't meet a brother, they used to ask about them, what happened to this person, we haven't seen him for a couple of days, is he well, is he not well? You know, all of these things, and this is the issue of collective existence, which I mentioned yesterday in the Fajr reminder. The collective existence, the heart of that thing, from where the blood and the consciousness of collective existence is being pumped, is the masjid. The masjid is the center of the Muslim community. My brothers and sisters, please don't abandon the masajid. Even for good things, right? Many people have this good idea. I want to do this halakha in my house. I want to have this function in my house. Please have the halakha in the masjid. Please have the function in the masjid, not in your house. If it's a very private personal thing which you want to have just for your family and so on, that's fine. But anything public to do with Islam, anything public to do with the Muslim community, do it in the masjid. The barakah of that, believe me, will permeate your entire life. You are doing a good thing, do a super good thing, gild it, gild the gold, gild the lilies by doing it in the masjid, because then you will have the barakah of the masjid. The masjid is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The masjid is the place of the nuzul of malaika, where the malaika descend. The masjid is the place where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the risk, the sustenance of the entire community comes into the masjid, and from the masjid Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distributes it to the homes. Don't keep it, don't abandon the masjid in the name of doing this thing and that thing in here, this place and that place. Do it in the masjid. Classes, do it in the masjid. Where did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach? He taught in the masjid. He had the Ashabu Sufa staying on the platform behind the masjid, and he taught them in the masjid. Did he teach those classes inside his house? No. And it's not because his house was small. If that is what he wanted to do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have given him a bigger house. Did he do it in the houses of in the houses of Sahaba who had big houses? There were people who were wealthy. There were people who had big houses. He didn't do them. He did those classes. He taught people inside in the masjid. Every single thing he did in the masjid, because he wanted to reinforce the importance of the masjid in the life of the ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The central importance of the masjid. My brothers and sisters, do not abandon masajid. It's all very well for us to grieve when any masjid anywhere in the world is demolished, or if it is taken over, or if it is, you know, something happens to it. By all means, of course, one must feel sad. But please understand, that does not happen to masajid which are abad, masajid which are populated, masajid in which every day, five times a day, people are going to pray. It doesn't happen. It cannot happen, because the people are there. They are praying. They are worshipping. They are taking care of the masjid. Alhamdulillah, those masajid are safe. Masajid which are abandoned, this is what happens to them. And of course, as far as Muslims are concerned, it doesn't matter, because the whole earth is for us to pray, inshallah. But the point is that the masjid, even though the whole earth has been made halal, there is the space for prayer. The masjid has a very special place. Please do not leave that masjid. As I mentioned to you, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasized the importance of our collective identity. Let us keep that in mind and ensure that we populate the masajid. Go to the masjid if it is convenient. Go to the masjid even more if it is inconvenient, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for fighting the inconvenience, and He will reward you for going to the masjid. I'm making this statement, taking the dalil from what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about reciting Quran. He said the person who recites the Quran with ease, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him. But the person who struggles to recite the Quran because he does not understand the language, he does not know the language, he is struggling, he is older, whatever the reason for his struggle might be, when he is struggling to recite the Quran, Allah will give him two rewards, one reward for struggling and one reward for reading. I am taking the same dalil and saying that for a person who goes to the masjid, Allah will reward him. If the masjid is close to his house, it's convenient, inshallah, Allah will reward him. But for the person who has to drive a long distance, who has to take trouble to go to the masjid. He is tired. He has come back home from work. He just wants to relax at home, pray his salah at home, go to sleep. Yet he gets up, he goes out of his house, he goes to the masjid. For such a person, there is inshallah or musta'an, there is a reward for the trouble that he is taking, and there is the reward for being in the masjid and for going and praying in the masjid. My brothers and sisters, when you are tired, that's even more reason, because the masjid is a place where you will get sakina, where you will get sukoon, where your tiredness will slough away, will fall away from your shoulders, and inshallah you will be in the rahmah and barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.